what did you call that? I think you had a phrase for that.
Well, I...
Doctrine of relative, was it? Or?
I had a phrase for the concept was somewhat what I call newborn constitutional concept of relative constitutionality, because the Constitution of 1963 said that the Supreme Court shall choose the plan which most nearly complies with the Constitution. The Supreme Court shall determine which plan complies most accurately with the constitutional requirements. That's what the Constitution said. And I said in my dissenting opinion that the Constitution seems to contemplate that we apply some newborn standard of relative constitutionality. And I went on to say, I never heard of one law being more constitutional than another. Constitutionality is like pregnancy. Either you is or you ain't. And that was the comment about relative constitutionality. But then I went on to say, nevertheless, that's our job. That's what the Constitution tells the court to do, so we have to try to do it. And then I conclude that, well, if you're going to pick the lowest bidder, the lowest population ratio, that's at least an objective standard that everyone can understand. It's easy to apply. It'll work. I pointed out that it doesn't mean anything. I mean, literally doesn't mean anything, because the ratio is so tiny, so minuscule, that either the census itself isn't that accurate, or even if the census were that accurate, just the normal change in people's residences that would occur in a matter of weeks and certainly months between the taking of the census and the... We were dealing with the 1970 census, and this lawsuit was in 1972, so 2 years had gone by. There was no question at all that the districts as they existed out there in reality on the real estate in the state of Michigan, the people living in those districts were different from the numbers of people who were in the census in 1970. Certainly by substantial numbers as opposed to these tiny, tiny fractional differences. So it had no substantive reality to it, but it was still, if you're going to play games, it was a game you could play and it would be fair to everybody, or it could be fair to everyone. Then I pointed out, okay, if what you're going to do is simply let the contract to the lowest bidder, if you're going to simply allow the political party that comes in with the lowest population ratio to set the districts, then at least you ought to take sealed bids. You ought to give both sides a chance to give it their best shot and go from there. And I suggested that if, in fact, they both came out with a perfect plan so that there was a ratio of 1-1, dead to even, that you would then refer to the number of political units of government that were divided in the apportionment plan and use that factor to break the ties. So what I was looking for, quite frankly, was a way for the court to be an impartial arbiter between the two divergent forces on that commission, and simply to set some rules that applied to both of them that we could enforce impartially, that would help them to get their job done and function in behalf of the people of the state of Michigan. Subsequent to that decision and in years since then, I developed a rather intricate, not really intricate, but comprehensive approach to the apportionment problem, which built on what I said in my dissenting opinion. In other words, instead of a process whereby both parties would make a complete apportionment of the plan and then submit them in sealed bids. I had come up with an idea that a legislative districting map could be drawn seriatim in an adversary proceeding, so that you could, like you play a chess game, you could have one party draw the first district, and then the other party draw the next district, and pass the map back and forth between the two parties with certain time limits, like you would in an international chess match, and certain parameters of legality that would be established by the court. In other words, the court could say that the ratio shall not be more than 1 to 1.009 or 6 or whatever you wanted to do, and that the district must be contiguous to the district already on the map, or that the district cannot leave an island that is surround something. All various little rules that you would develop. You could even have a gerrymander rule that would prohibit a district from being too long or skinny or whatever. And ultimately achieve a map which was drawn through the adversary process, where the court's function would be to be the honest cop between the two political parties. That never caught on, and I'll tell you why I think, in my judgment, the drive for political power and the desire to control the machinery of government is so intense and overpowering that it sweeps almost all attempts to be nonpartisan out of the way. You just don't have Republicans or Democrats who want to have a fair system of apportionment. Active Republicans want the state apportioned to benefit the Republicans, and active Democrats want the state apportioned to benefit the Democrats. You can talk until you're blue in the face trying to get them to come together on a system which is fair to both. They don't want fairness. They want to win. And unfortunately, that win mentality infects the way they feel about the court. And so they conclude that the court's role as the arbiter or the ultimate authority in the area of apportionment, their conclusion was that the court was thrust into the Republican versus Democrat milieu. And they went out and elected people, nominated people to run for the Supreme Court. And they gave money to assist people to get elected to the Supreme Court on the basis that they wanted to have votes on the Supreme Court when it came to apportionment, because that decision would establish control of the legislature for the next 10 years. And you saw the Democratically nominated members of the court vote for the Democratic plan. Not only vote for the Democratic plan, but in my judgment, prostitute themselves by giving the Democrats one last chance to revise their plan before they heard the case. The Republicans weren't a whole lot better in terms of their chauvinism, because the sequel to this case I've cited in 387 Michigan was that the Republicans, having lost in the state Supreme Court, then went to the federal court in Detroit. And I think maybe John Fikens got the case, but it went to a federal district court judge in Detroit. And I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. Before they went to the federal court, they came back to our court with a petition to throw the whole commission out, with a petition to determine that the commission was unconstitutional. And you'll remember that argument ultimately carried the day in the 1980s.